Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro of the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Yeah, Travis, thank you so much for getting in touch with me. I know that we are going to be talking about really quite a localized area in Pennsylvania, and we are going to be talking about Bigfoot.
Yes, ma'am, we are.
I don't know where you wanted to start with this, if you would like to start, you know, at the kind of close encounter, or if you wanted to give background on the area, wherever you felt most comfortable, Travis.
Okay, a little bit of background. I'm not going to bug you with topography and everything that bad. I moved back from Anchorage, Alaska in 1996, and between my father and my uncle and my aunt, we got really hard into turkey hunting. We are 6 miles on the Clarion side of Siegel, Pennsylvania. Things started happening that I couldn't piece together. And as this story goes along, I'm just going to keep saying piece together instead of making it a longer story.
Mm-hmm.
We had cousins. I'm not going to name their real names. I'm just going to call them Sean and Gary. Gary lived right down below my camp. And where all this occurred was only about 1,200 yards from where my current camp is out now. And it's a little area that historically we have called the Porky Den. Porcupines nest in there. It's pine, it's maple, it's cherry, it's hemlock. It's extremely thick. And through the years of going back up there after I reconnected with everybody from moving back from Anchorage and getting back up in there in the woods and hunting, especially with Gary, not necessarily hunting with him, but talking with him, Gary's the one that's taking the brunt of it and doesn't even know what was going on with him. He was being moved out of the woods on a nightly basis. He was an avid bow hunter, and he is to this day, and he's an awesome taxidermist to this day, too. And I won't say his last name, but if you're in the area, you know who he is. He was being pushed out of the woods on a nightly basis for years, and I never made the connection. He would say there was something 20 yards away from him that led him out of the woods. And excuse me, he didn't know what it was, and he had no clue how to comprehend it, I guess. But back then, for some reason, this is going to sound strange, there, my cousins, and this is nothing derogatory against my cousins, but they were 100% convinced that the Pennsylvania Game Commission was stalking black panthers in the Jefferson County area around Siegel, Pennsylvania. So, and they always said it was black panthers, which I never got this. And I never understood it, and it doesn't make sense, because you're ultimately talking about a mountain lion that if the state is introducing, you're never going to hear it. I mean, your neck is snapping, boom, it's done. And, you know, you're underneath a pile of leaves and you're a food source for the next 7 to 10 days. This fast forwarded, and I started picking things up with Gary, which it took me almost 15 years later till the invention of podcasts such as yours, or 20 years later. I actually, you were a part of Sasquatch Chronicles, weren't you, at one point?
I was.
Okay. He was my second podcast. Tony Merkel was my first, and you were my third, and I binged on all of you. Things started piecing together, and it came to a point about 2 years ago. I'm going to fast forward here, where my girlfriend at the time, well, my girlfriend Jeanette, we were up at our camp in Siegel, and I'll get into the vocalizations, but it brought me to the point where I needed to bring this subject up with my other cousin, Sean. And my cousin Sean told me this Porky Den area that everybody hunted, they were hunting together for a period of 3 to 4 years. And Gary was even commenting to Sean on how it seemed weird, it seemed off, it was dead silent, they weren't seeing any deer during archery season. One evening, Sean went down in his pickup truck to pick up Gary out of his bow stand at dark. Gary is a gentleman that spends on average anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400 every year on a brand new compound bow setup. When Sean came down this road to pick Gary up, Gary was running for his life up through the headlights of Sean's truck and threw a $1,400 compound bow in the back of his truck as hard as he could, got into the cab of his truck and started screaming at Sean at point blank range while he was crying and sweating and hyperventilating and screaming pretty much, am I allowed to swear on your podcast?
Go right ahead.
Get the F out of here now. And he said it was incoherent. He was just screaming. He was bawling. And that was all that was said about it. This past summer, when I talked to my cousin Sean about this, when he brought it up, Sean brought up something that he said about 8 or 10 years ago, which is only about an eighth of a mile across the we live at our camp is at a secondary farm road, broken up farm parcels. He has bow stands all over the place. He was walking into his stand about 4:30 in the morning. He heard something huge and heavy coming down off a ridge line at 4:30 in the morning, and it was coming for him, and he was within 80 yards of his bow stand, and he said he barely made it up there. He never saw what was coming down after him, but him living in those woods for his entire life, he said it was on two legs and it was heavy and it was directly under the tree. And I tried bringing up the subject with him a couple different times, and Oh, they just kind of, they're, how do I word this? It's never happened to them, so it can't be real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So this thing was right under his, essentially where he's sitting, and it's 4:30 in the morning, ma'am. So it was still dark at that point.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, he had pretty much just shown up. He hadn't even climbed up there yet, but he climbed up there. I mean, he was going to climb up there, but he probably got up there quicker because he hears this thing coming.
Yeah. He pretty much made it 90% of the way to his deer stand when he knew he was not the predator. And he told me that on my camp porch this past summer with my girlfriend present. And I saw a glimmer of truth in his eyes. And I think both of them know a little bit more, but they aren't saying anything, you know?
Mm. Right.
One of those. It's
maybe to voice it out loud is a little bit too difficult for him.
Well, I think it's fear of ridicule. You know, and I'm 50 years old. I know what I experienced and what's still going on in the area to this day. And I'm to the point now where I don't care. You know, I want to connect with people and share my experience with the hopes that, you know, somebody out there in my area is like, hey, man, let's have a beer and talk because I got a story for you, too, you know.
Now, Travis, how long did Gary sit in that tree stand with this thing down underneath him? How long was he in fear, essentially, for his life, I would assume?
He did not say. He said once daylight broke, it wandered away, and he could hear it going back up to the ridge line where it came from, you know? So.
And then he booked it out of there, or he was able to grab a signal and call Sean?
No, he booked it out of there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he got out of there. Yeah, what do you call it? I know what you've said it so many times before. Do you call it the poopy factor or something like that?
Oh, yeah, the brown pants and the, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sam always, he's always like, oh, gosh, now Shannon's going to bring up pooping again. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, the brown pants moments and, yeah, shorts change moments. Yeah, or that's what Will used to call it, right? The underwear changing moment.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And I don't think my cousin had an extra pair that day.
Well, you know, and, you know, it is, you got to laugh about this stuff a little bit. But to Gary, though, you said he was actually crying, which I would assume that this is a guy that is probably a pretty tough dude. And when you said that, besides that, you said he took a $1,400 compound bow, which he probably loved just as much as, you know, any kids he had or dogs or anything. And he just throws it into the back of a truck. If he didn't really see something that, or, well, he didn't see something, he didn't experience something that terrified him and knew was really messed up, he would not have done that.
Yes, ma'am. I agree 100%. Yep.
So what did he say to Sean, though? I mean, is Sean going, dude, calm down. What is your problem? Like, it's not a big, it's not what you think it was. Was he actually saying Bigfoot to Sean?
No. He was screaming incoherently at his face at about 4 inches while he was crying and sweating profusely and screaming, get us the F out of here.
Right.
And after that, I don't know what the conversation, it's a tight-knit group up there, even though I am distantly related and absolutely nothing derogatory against all those guys, but they're pretty tribal, you know?
Right. That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
So what did your girlfriend Jeanette say, you know, when you're sitting on the porch and you guys are kind of hearing this story?
She knew I was interested in the subject. I was like 60-40 on the line until 2006, until I had my encounter. And I flat out told her when we got together, it's like, hey, these things have been going on with me for the past 20 years in this surrounding property. I just want you to know, heads up, you're going to hear things. And she's going along with it. She's experienced it firsthand, vocalizations, and she's kind of one of those, well, if I shut the door, it's going away, you know,
right.
But I think she's like kind of interested in it, you know?
Yeah. So you begin to take her out there with you. So she's into hunting as well, or is she just kind of hanging out there for support? What was the situation there? And did you guys mostly go, the two of you?
She's hanging out for support. She's hanging out for support, you know?
So you guys would go out there quite a bit.
Yeah, we try to get up there about once a month and just do some upkeep on the property and everything. And our traditional rifle season is coming up here in about 3 weeks. And it seems to be in the fall at this time, ironically, and in the springtime, whenever I hear a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Now, how rural is your hunting area?
Extremely rural. It's old school farming. It's corn, it's soybeans, it's hay. It's huge broken plots with drainages running through it. It's perfect habitat.
Any large bodies of water there, or rivers, things like that?
Yeah, we have the Clarion River, which is approximately about 8 miles away from our property. And we are actually on the southwest corner of the ANF, the Allegheny National Forest.
Yeah, the never-ending forest.
Yes, it is. It's a huge tract of
amazing
property.
Yeah.
So in 2006, I was in the same area as Gary had his encounters through the years that he cannot explain. I am down in this Porky Den area, which the topography of it, I'll just keep it simple. It is a old gas line running north to south. On the eastern side of it is limestone boulders, and that goes down to a really beautiful, just a natural eastern hardwood flat. And on the southern end of it, it connects with a little drainage called Mill Creek. It gets extremely thick, really fast, extremely dense pine trees. And I was down in there for a period of 3 or 4 days. And about the third week of May 2006, are you familiar with turkey hunting? Do you know what roosting is?
I mean, slightly, just a little bit from what you guys have told me, but re-explain it for anybody that's going, well, I want to know exactly what roosting is.
Okay, roosting is you go out and scout and call for birds, turkeys, pre-season, and you find a flock. You slowly walk into them as stealthy as you can and find out where they roost at night, because they sleep up in trees. Turkeys don't sleep on the ground. And traditionally, turkeys find the heaviest, densest pine trees, hemlocks, etc., that they can get themselves into. And I was lucky enough to find a little flock of turkeys down in this Porky Den area. And I roosted them for 2 nights, which means you just sneak down in there and be quiet. And if it's quiet enough, you can actually listen to the birds fly up into the trees. You can actually hear the wing beats, and you can hear them nestle in. And if you're really good, which I am not, you can actually hear them up there clucking and chirping and talking to each other. I was down in this area 2 nights in a row. The third day, this morning that I went down, I already had a cherry tree picked out on the southern end of this little flat. And it literally, it went from nice eastern woodland picturesque pictures to dense forest. I mean, like, you could throw your back onto this wall of pine trees and bounce back. I walked my way down in from my camp, which is about, I want to say, about a quarter mile. I got to this cherry tree that allowed me a view of the flat, but yet I could still keep my ear on what was going on up in the trees. And as soon as I got to the cherry tree, a couple things happened. I heard an enormous shift of weight. I heard a sound I never heard before. I thought bear. My butt got down on one knee with shotgun up. And this was very, very close. And it had no idea what was going on. So I waited for like 5 or 6 minutes and I can hear shifting of weight. If you run into a bear in Pennsylvania, they smell you within a quarter of a mile, Shane, and they're gone. I mean, all of our game animals in this state are so spooky due to pressure. Bears don't hang out, shift their weight around and try to smell you or with it. They're usually out of here. This went on for about 5 or 6 minutes. I edged a little bit closer on my hands and knees, and I still had my shotgun in my left hand. And I got a little bit closer, and I got back up on one knee, and something made a growl directly in front of me. And directly in front of me was probably, I would say, 18 to 25 feet, 25 feet at the max. And I was like, man, this is one messed up bear. I don't get what's going on, because usually bears spook. I waited another 3 minutes and I can hear breathing. But the breathing wasn't coming from where the weight differentials were coming from on the ground. It was like 7 or 8 feet up on it. Behind these, I'm talking, Shannon, literally a wall of pine trees. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. I want to protect myself. My gun's up, but the safety's still on. And I decided to reach in my upper left army jacket pocket and break out my flashlight. As soon as I did that, I saw this only happened for like, maybe three or four seconds. I saw, and it was a torso, left-hand side torso, down to a leg, and down to a foot, but I saw the top of the foot. But this thing was just beyond... It was beyond ripped, man. I mean, everybody on all these podcasts make their references, and whoever they reference, this thing would just kick the living shit out of it. The side of the torso, I think, had six packs, man. I am not kidding. This thing was a dirty auburn. Burnt auburn hair, but it had almost like a grayish skin, which I hear that quite often, but it had a lot of mud down the side of it, which I, thinking back on it, it maybe came out of that creek bottom that I was trying to hunt. As soon as I put the flashlight on it, it did almost one of these it almost was like a, oops, you got me. And it slid its foot back.
Just the foot?
And now it slid, I would slid the foot and leg and everything back out of my flashlight shine. And I think the way it was, Shannon, it was the left hand side, the torso was just massive down to the side of its butt cheek, down to its torso. But the knee was kind of weird. And I didn't know anything about what was going on until so many years later when I hear this on podcasts that its knee almost looked like, like people that lay carpet or work on their knees doing construction quite a bit. They have like these really expensive knee pads.
Massive knee pads,
hard plastic. Mm-hmm. This thing looked like it had one of those under its skin almost, but it was a lot farther down the leg. That's when I made up my mind. It's like, this isn't a bear. But it still wasn't snapping in my head that I don't know. There was a lot of stuff going through my head, and I think I was confronted with something dangerous. I had a gun on me, and there was really probably nothing I could have done with it. But as soon as I shut the flashlight off and it moved that part of the body back, it started getting antsy, and it started, you guys hear with your interviews, the shuffling back and forth of the weight, mm-hmm. the moving back and forth. That's what this thing started doing. I was like, bears don't do this, but I'm not thinking Sasquatch. I have no idea what's going on. And I shined the light one more time. And whenever I shined that light one more time, it started vocalizing. And whenever it started vocalizing, the first thing it did, and I'll never forget this, because it did. Can I act like a goober and try to reproduce it?
Oh, please do. I love when folks try to reproduce it. Yes.
Okay. It actually, there's nothing in nature that can purse its lips. Okay. This thing did a pee. But it did a guttural, all right, it did like a, like that. And it was loud, and it was directed at me, and the safety came off my shotgun. And whenever that click went off the shotgun, it started moving back and forth even faster.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
It started vocalizing more. It was making like, bears don't purse their lips. There's nothing in nature that can form their, it was growling. It was doing a heavy, just like muddled breathing. But it was almost like it was like a and that was like 18, 25 feet away. And I didn't pick up on that stuff until years later, until I actually heard Ron Moorhead's Sierra sound mm-hmm. for the first time. And that one really was like, okay, that there's a nail in the coffin right there, you know. This went on for, I told you in my email that it lasted a while. I was on my knee with a flashlight in the hand, a 12 gauge turkey shotgun with the safety off on for probably 12 to 15 minutes before I decided to back out of there because the sun was coming up. He never showed himself again, never moved that I could tell, except for the weight moving back and forth. And at one point, I remember, I'm just going to boil around into there. Turkey loads aren't going to stop anything where the vocals are coming from 7 feet up on the backside of this pine tree. You know, but it just blew my mind that something so big that I just saw the left-hand side of its body can be completely hidden that close in front of me. So I backed off, and I made it to a boulder about, I want to say 60 yards away, and just sat down. And in my mind's just like, what the F word's going on here? This isn't a bear. And I just it never clicked in my head. You know what I mean? It was about 15 minutes later. I heard, it was pretty close too. I heard a forearm smack a tree and an entire tree went down, and heard something going back down into this mill creek drainage. And I've never been back in there since. And that was 2006. And it's prime property, you know. I don't know. I mean, it's a year after that.
Well, actually, you know what? Before we go there, do you mind if I ask you a few questions about that story?
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't blame you for not going back into that location. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard Carrie Arnold's retelling of his encounter, you know, and how close that was and how terrifying that was, but yours is also very close. So, you saw the torso to the leg and then down to the top of the foot. Did you just not notice where his, like, did you not really get a good look at his shoulder and then where his arm was, or was he holding on to something above?
I didn't see that part. No, I did not see that part of the body at all. It actually, Shannon, almost looked like he was wedged between two pine trees at an awkward position. I think actually thinking about it over all these years was I walked up on you doing your thing and you walked up on me doing my thing. And we just met in the middle. And it was, I thought I could see. It just happened so fast. You know, it was 4 seconds, 5 seconds tops, maybe. I don't remember.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. I'm not trying to lead you in any way, shape, or form. I was just wondering.
I understand that. Yeah. But you got to understand, too, that after I saw that, my body went into adrenaline dump.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can only imagine. Full body sweat, you know.
Being that close, and this was going to be a question maybe closer to the end, but I may as well ask it now since you're kind of bringing it up. Did you ever fear for your life? I mean, how scared were you?
I was naive scared. And there was no way. If it came charging out of there, I couldn't do anything. There was absolutely nothing I could have done except for, you know, just put my head back on my body somewhere if you bury me, you know. But not to sound like a, you know, I did not make the connection. I had absolutely no idea until years later that I started piecing this stuff together. And it's like, okay, there's something bigger and badder going on up here. And, you know, I knew what I saw. And I walked back up to camp after I got off that boulder and heard that tree go down. And my father and my uncle were already back up at camp. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Of course, the quintessential, what's wrong with you? And like, I grabbed a beer out of the fridge and it's like, man, I had a weird encounter with a big bear, you know, because my father's side of the family is, they, if they don't see it, they don't believe it. So it can't be out there. And they're kind of like brought up to, if it does happen, you ignore it and you don't say anything because you're going to be ridiculed and it might hurt your career or whatever it is, you know? So I just played it off until like a year later, actually the same week, 2007, my father had already gone home and my uncle and I were laying in our bunks opposite each other, trying to figure out where to go in the next morning because we only had to get like 5 hours of sleep. And something hit the side of our camp, Shannon, so hard and so heavy. And he just looked at me like, what in the F was that? And had no clue. We have overhanging maple trees over our camp. And I made a mental note that night when I went to bed, I'm going to go out and check the camp. And there was absolutely nothing on the roof. There was no loose logs or any debris of any kind. And the slap did not happen on the roof. It happened probably about 9 feet up on the side of the camp. And that happened again later on about 10 years when I was up there by myself. And Denny, my uncle who was there, I'll just say his name, Denny, was like, what do you think was on the roof last night? And I just didn't say anything, you know. It just escalated to a little point where I started piecing it together again, where who's the gentleman that recorded the Ohio House?
Matt Moneymaker did.
Okay. All right. We've heard that, I don't know how many times, off our camp porch. And wood knocks that I didn't know. I mean, sitting on our camp porch, we hear these things, and it's deer season, and my father will say, like, well, it sounds like there's some guys out there working on their deer stands, you know? And it led up to the night of Easter of last year, where my girlfriend Jeanette and I were out on our camp porch, and it was about 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock at night. And it just, one of the classic Ohio howls starts going off on the ridgeline across the road, which is in broken farm country that we've hunted our entire lives. And two or three other of them opened up at the same time. They kept winding themselves up and winding themselves up to the point where it was, I'm going to reference the Sierra sounds again, where it was just at the end of these things was just in the lung capacity behind them, where it was just amazing. I mean, you're familiar with mountain lions and bobcats and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the sounds anyway. I thankfully have never seen a mountain lion, following me like that poor guy in that video that was walking backwards for miles. But yeah, I watch videos.
I want to buy that dude a beer one day.
Dude, are you?
He had a massive set on him.
That was amazing. Yeah.
This kept going on and on and on, and they were actually at one point, probably about 20 minutes into it, they started wood knocking on top of their screaming. And the hollow behind my camp where I had an encounter about 20 minutes in, one opened up down in there, and that thing was loud. And he had more lung capacity than the other three that were on the ridgeline across the road. And she went inside.
What was she saying about that, though?
What is that? And by this time, of course, I've been listening to all of you guys and just keeping my mouth shut and piecing all this stuff together. And I said, there's only one thing that could be. And I said, those are Sasquatch. And they were wood knocking and screaming. And what amazed me was there, and I've heard that two times up there. Usually it's the classic Ohio howl finding Bigfoot thing. I've heard the, the vocalizations with that chimp ending on it. That one occasion with her, and another occasion where I was up there by myself. And Shannon, there's nothing out there. Dude, there is nothing out there with the lung capacity that can hold a note like that and still put a little stank on the end to it.
Yeah.
And still have the same strength as whenever the scream started.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, they were an eighth mile away, and man, you want to talk about loud and clear? It's freaking incredible, you know? And I guess if there's anybody in the Jefferson County, Pennsylvania, Segal area that's listening to this, that wants to get a hold of me, that's having the same experience, because this is going on every spring and every fall. Every time I bring it up, I get laughed at. So I just kept my mouth shut from now on, you know. But if you're out there, you're welcome to get a hold of me, you know.
And it's totally up to you. Did you want to give out your contact info, or they contact me and then I can forward it to you, and then you can decide from there? Does that sound good?
Let's go through you first, because you're probably a lot better used to dealing with crackpots than I am.
I think I might be. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I can't always sniff them out, but I'm, you know, after doing this for this long, I've gotten better. Yeah, no, go ahead and get in touch with me, Shannon at intothefrayradio.com. Again, that is anybody in the Jefferson County or Segal, PA area, and then I can forward the correspondence over to Travis.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more things about your close encounter. The one where you saw, we're assuming is a him. I always call everybody a him anyway, so...
That was another thing I just got a complete and total sense of male domination.
Did you?
Yeah. You ever walk into a bar completely sober and see a big muscled drunk guy waiting to beat the crap out of everybody? That's the sense I got out of that. That's the feeling I got out of that.
Right. Just the vibe
but
you put out.
But I didn't see any genitals or anything like that. The way the leg was cocked, it was just.
I think he was squeezed between
two trees at an awkward position. You know.
How big around were those trees?
Probably 16, 18, maybe 20 inches in diameter. Maybe I mean you're just typical. Mm-hmm. Typical pine trees, you know.
How tall would you guess he was?
I don't know. You know, I say 7 feet, but I saw where the torso went back into the trees with the flashlight, and boom, I shut my flashlight off, and the vocalization started happening, and I was direct. I want to guess 7 feet. I want to say seven, you know, but black bears in Pennsylvania don't hug trees like that and make sounds at people and walk back and forth.
Oh no, it's
distributing their weight, you know.
No, that's no bear.
You may get the sense that I play it off, maybe, but it was so awkward. It's just and I have it in my mind when you attach yourself to fringe and fringe becomes reality, you don't wear fringe on a t-shirt anymore. You just keep it to yourself and shut up, you know?
Yeah, it's easier that way. I understand that. Don't worry. That's why we have to find you someone or someone's that don't mind, you know, taking that out of the old pouch and saying, oh, we're into the fringe too. Here's our fringe. Let's match up with yours, you know? That's why shows like this are so popular, is that people just enjoy chatting about this stuff, getting it off their chest, and feeling that community feel with people that have also had very strange experiences and have nobody to talk to about it. Now, Travis, how about this? You said it had dirty auburn hair and gray skin underneath. Now, I know it's only 3 or 4 seconds. Yes, I'm not fishing for you to, you know, whatever. I'm just, if it's something that you notice, great. If not, fine. Was the hair over the stomach a little bit, you know, was it less hairy over this six pack and that's why you could see it? And then more hairy over the legs and the upper chest area? Like, what was going on with that? Did you notice anything about the hair?
It was all even. All of it was even. And down his left leg was mud. Yeah, it was all even, 100% even, and there was a grayish tint to it. But that's why I got the male masculinity vibe intimidation. I mean, this guy was ripped, man. The muscular definition, whenever he decided, well, he saw the flashlight hit him, and he moved that part of his body back behind to these trees, there was a ripple effect, Shannon. It was just,
humbling.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humbling. I mean, it was just,
do you think there would have been a weapon, just one, that it would have stepped out and it was go time, that would have actually saved your life?
No. That's why I decided, I was very naive through the entire thing. And that's when I decided that my wits came about me when the sun was coming up and the thing was still standing there in front of me, making all these sounds. And it's like, it's time to get out of here. And that was it. I was gone. And he just kind of accentuated the encounter with that tree slam. And I'll flat out tell you, I booked my ass back up the hill to camp. I had enough. I was done. It really hit me whenever I was running back up to camp. It was like, holy crap, this isn't right. There's something wrong here, and this thing shouldn't exist. And I kept it together and got into camp. So it was just, what really got me though, Shannon, was, okay, the muscularity of this thing needs protein, right? You got to eat, and to maintain a body of that mass and that size, the torso down into the thigh, holy crap, it was just the thickest human body looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And I only saw it for 4 seconds, you know. So where is he getting all of his food at to maintain that physique, you know?
Would you have liked to have seen his face?
No. Nope. Because about 3 years after that, I had that one look in the window at my camp. All I saw, and I didn't see classic eye shine, like, you know, it was glowing red with its eyes on fire. It was at sundown. I was up there by myself in August fishing the Clarion River for smallmouth, and I was making some food up by myself, had a movie on, and just happened to glance over at one of my side windows at camp, which when I stand underneath it, I'm 6'1". The very top of my ball cap, you could barely see from the inside of that window. And there was just a huge hulking mass there. And I caught about 2-3 seconds of an eye shine. And I went running for the window, slammed the window down, and closed the curtains. And to this day, my father doesn't know why I do it, but I close those curtains at sundown and I lock that window.
Even though you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah, he's probably like, yep. What is Travis? What do you got? What is this new thing you're doing? So you've never, ever mentioned that really to your family.
No, I've never mentioned that to anybody but my girlfriend. You know, it's Shannon, it's messed up because you, I don't know how to word this, because you can listen to you can listen to Wes, you can listen to Merkel and all these guys like Outlaw Radio. But whenever you're actually like part of a property where this is actually happening, there's shit in the back of your head that's going on constantly. When I'm out in the yard with my girlfriend, we're making a fire or mowing the yard or something, I'm watching the tree line. And it's not PTSD or anything like that. It's just me being aware, because I actually know that these things are real now. It's messed up, you know?
You know what it is? It's PSSD.
You can't say anything to anybody, though. You know what I mean? You can't say anything to anybody.
No,
you know?
Of course not.
Oh, there it goes.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know. It's PSSD. It's post-squatch stress syndrome. I think that we should coin a new term for that, because, you know, I've heard a lot of times you guys say, I'm not going to say it's PTSD. That's, you know, that's for guys in the military. And, you know, that if, you know, I totally get that.
Right.
But there needs to be right. some kind of a term for you guys that, you know, and because you don't want to give up something you love doing. You don't want to give up a place that you love going to do the thing that you love to do and just be, you know, out in nature. You didn't let it scare you off, yeah. but now it's in the back of your mind yeah. all the time.
Constantly. It is in, as the years go by, because I'm 50 years old now, and I go up there, I try to get up there once a month. I've noticed the seasons, it's springtime and it's fall. So listening to you folks, I'm thinking maybe there's a migratory clan that comes through and they plop down and take advantage of the deer herd. Or I don't know, you know, it just, but it's almost seems like clockwork now, you know. So I got a better phone, and which has a really good audio app on it. So here in a couple of weeks, every time I go out on the porch, I'm just going to take it with me and turn it on and hope to get some of this stuff on, you know, at least on audio, you know, because they're loud.
Okay. Something you brought up was with the whole audio recording thing. And this next part, it's not the end all be all, because obviously trail cams seem to be a very nefarious way to try to capture any footage of Bigfoot. I am a firm believer, amongst others, that they can hear them or see them. And obviously, I mean, if somebody comes in and puts something like that in my house, I'm going to notice right away, right? So,
yes,
I mean,
ma'am.
Do you have those? Because everyone's going to go, why didn't you ask him if he has trail cams? Because some people still, you know, they're really on board with that. And that's fine. I'm not a personal believer that a trail cam is really going to do too much except piss them off and maybe bring them in, I don't know, to either throw the trail cam onto your porch or something. I don't know, but yeah, I have to ask.
I've never even thought about setting trail cams out there. Just like I said, from listening to you and Tony and Wes, it just doesn't seem like it. Plus I have like a $30 trail cam, so it's not the state-of-the-art stuff, and I just figured they would either get stolen or, you know, something would come up and rip it off the tree, and I just go have to buy another
exactly.
one. So I never even really
no
really never even thought about that.
In fact, if you add another zero even onto that 30, honestly, that's how I feel about trail cams. It's kind of the same way I feel about most of the orb photos or tree structures for yeah. the most part. Like most tree structures, I'm like, yawn fest. so boring. It has to be really, really, really good. Most trail cam situations are just, it's a no win. I mean, that's just unfortunately how it goes. I've seen a couple of kind of cool pictures, but you still can't go, oh my God, you got a Bigfoot right there. Nope.
I agree 100% because in today's technology and other people in your field bringing up, you could have the most kick-ass picture in the world. And there's just, it only takes one guy out there to go, nope, that's fake. And, you know,
well, that, I mean, that's a whole, that's a whole nother thing. That's just Facebook bull crap. I mean, people do that about all kinds of stuff. But I mean, if it was for, you know, to where you knew it was something, because you have all this other stuff going on, and then you had a corroborating photo, that's something different. I mean, posting on Facebook's a waste of time anyway. People just poop on everything.
I know. I've found structures like the classic X ones and way out in the middle of out there. But the thing that nobody's going to believe is the root system that I found the one on. The root system was hanging up in the air and it was wedged. And so I did take a picture of it with one of my older phones. And actually, I think that it's still to this day, there's part of it still standing. That is like, why even show people this? You know, it's just a closed group word of mouth, you know?
Yeah. Well, it'll always be like that, unfortunately. Travis, what about anything that's been left around, you know, the cabin or anything weird at all, anything out of place? And I'm not trying to fish. I'm just wondering if it jogs any memory of anything right around your cabin, since you have seen this hulking figure in the window at one point.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think it was just a drive by, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect silhouette. I saw the conical head. There was a brief shine of eyes, and they were wide. There was a nose between them, and that nose wasn't a small one.
So how high and up?
Once
how high up then would that pair of eyes be?
The top of my head is 6'1" at the base of that outside of the window. So for me to look into that window from the outside, I'd have to be about 6'8", 6'9" for me to look into the living room of my camp. And I don't know if it was hunching down. I don't know if it was a mid-sized one, a juvenile. I don't know, but that is why the window is shut and the curtains are closed and there's a 12-gauge shotgun on the wall every night, every time I go up there from now on, ever since that happened. So I don't need to open that window and blow around through it. I can blow through the window and replace that window later. You know what I mean?
I would imagine I would do the same thing. But like I said, it's good that at least it didn't scare you off. You've edited what you do when you go out there, but at least you still go out there.
Yeah, I do. I try to. But it's just always in the back of your head. You know, it's just, you hear a twig crack and, yep, it could be it this time. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, the finger's always on the trigger, you know. And I'm not scared. I'm not antsy. And I'm not suffering. It's just, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot more people in that area that know what's going on. There's an Amish presence in that area that I'm sure that they know what's going on, but you speak to the Amish about it, they say they're taught not to talk about such things, which is not derogatory towards them.
Right.
You know, but it's like, man, if you just shut your mouth, suck up information and listen to the people talk, it's amazing what you can learn about the area that you live in and that you play in, you know, without gabbing like a goober, you know. He was 9 feet tall with fire blazing out of his eyes and I was scared for my life. You know, those are the people that I don't pay attention to, you know.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Amish people. I would love one day to get somebody from that community on that has had, you know, experiences, and then they probably got these stories because they're such a tight-knit community. I would love to hear their thoughts on, you know, I just wonder if they think, I mean, this is me imparting things on them that I probably shouldn't, but I just wonder if they even think they're flesh and blood, or if they think they're something demonic, because they are very religious. I just wonder what they think of them, you know, because you know that they can't just avoid having experiences. I don't think the Bigfoot know that, okay, well, here's Travis over here with this camp, and then you go X amount of miles down this road, and here's these folks in, you know, in these outfits and their buildings. They're not going to go, oh, well, that's the Amish people. I'm not going to mess with them. I'm sure they have experiences. Right. That would be pretty incredible to talk to any of those folks.
All right. You aren't going to ask me the question, so I just think they're an animal. And I think the Amish just think they're an animal too. But they're an abomination, and they just don't talk about abominations, and that maybe perhaps their religion and their society, you know.
I don't know.
I'd be hard pressed to get an interview with a couple of them, Shannon.
Well, you know? I don't even think they know what in the hell a podcast is, you know, and bless. And that's fine. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. They'd be like, what is a podcast, you know? I mean, it's pretty cool though, Travis, because you actually got cussed out by a Bigfoot is I think what happened to you back in 06. And I'm just wondering exactly, you know, if we could have a translator, what he was saying to you. I bet it wasn't something very nice. So, Travis, before we go, who is this lovely gentleman that we are going to say hello to and shout out before we leave?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I just wanted to give a shout out to a brother of mine real quick named Kevin Hainsey from Clearfield, Pennsylvania. He is in his, I do believe, a full year and 4 months of recovery. He's kicking ass, and he's a podcast addict, and he listens to you, Shannon, listens to Wes, listens to Tripoli, and he listens to Tony. So I got him hooked on podcasts whenever he came back to work and got on recovery, and he's been kicking butt ever since. And I just wanted to let him know that there's people out there thinking about him. All right.
That's right, Kevin. Keep kicking ass and taking names. That is no easy feat what you are doing, good sir. So,
he's doing a great job. Yep.
Well, Travis, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on to talk to me about
your encounters.
Welcome, and
I really appreciate talking to you, because I don't get to talk to anybody about this stuff. So,
well, hey, I'm always around, and we will talk again, because I want to keep hearing about your turkey property, or no, the porky den.
Yep.
Porky den. There we go. If you get any audio or anything, I would love to hear that stuff. And yeah, just keep me in the loop, because obviously this is an ongoing situation.
Okay, yes, ma'am, I will, and I'm just learning as I go along, so I'm just going to be one of those guys out there in the middle of the night standing there with my phone on hoping something happens, you know. It was a pleasure to talk to you, okay?
You too. You guys have a good night out there.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such-and-such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddhist says forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. See how they play with this exam by the koans to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. They will say, no, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say, reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you'll be reincarnated. If you are liberated, you will understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.